from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
The Falcons report.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell, the number one sports talk show with the number one sports talk station at the number one bar in town at Buckhead, and that's Twin Peaks.
Yep.
Join the party, pal. We start every hour of every show with a big old, hey, man. A lot of guys reacting to the comments of Steve Koonin. Everything from, man, can't wait to see what the Hawks do, to, well, it is the internet. I'll believe it when I see it. Hey, man, only time will tell. You know, we always appreciate Steve. Guys, Steve is the CEO. He is not the personnel guy. He is a guy that understands the marketing of it, gets, you know, all the cool things that happens at State Farm. But he is not the guy that makes the ultimate decisions. But we do try to, you know, get as much as we can out of him. And we have a lot of fun doing it every week.
Yeah, he is privy to them. And that's why he can tell us
right.
Some stuff, but not all the secret sauce.
Right, man. I know that I've been saying this every day for almost like freaking 3 months now since the season ended. Spend some freaking money. They're a billionaire. You can take it with you? I get it. You don't get to stay a billionaire by giving money away and burning it. But, I mean, if you're worth eight, it's hard. See, that's where it's hard for a fan. I'm a fan. I don't sit in the press box. I buy a ticket. When I go to a Hawks game, I buy a 10-pack. I buy individual seats. Famously, I've bought in courtside seats and seen guys not show up. But that's not the Hawks' fault. But it's just, at the end of the day, you expect, okay, maybe I'm being childlike because it's a hard knock life. But you expect Daddy Warbucks to, you know, kick it in a little bit, right? When you got more money than Arthur Blank. And we've had 3 years of crap.
Yep.
Can we spend a little bit? I just don't think that's too much to ask. I just don't think when you see our fans who love this team, who love the NBA, who support it, and you just kind of just drag it around, you know, just in a sea of mediocrity. It's just, you know, look, you've made some bad decisions. It's a hard knock life.
It's a hard knock life for us.
We can see.
No, I mean, thank you, Lord. No, but I mean, it's just, you know, I guess like every owner in town. See, the NFL's got a cap, and we know that. And Arthur maximized it. And Arthur put his own money into the stadium. Not all of it, but his own. And it's just like, what are we doing here? Because everybody who's listening to our show, Chris, was brought up to believe you compete. If you're playing Little League, you're going to win. You know, if you're, you know, like we joked around talking about Alexander, so, oh, you don't want to be the number one pick? Yeah. So you are worthless. You know what I mean? So you just get into this, I don't know, and I'm sorry I'm babbling like a brook. It's just, I'm very frustrated.
Yeah, it's understandable, Mike, but here's what we can hope on. That getting the number one pick will be the catalyst for what we've heard the last 3 years to kick into gear. And that is Tony Ressler has no problem spending the money if the circumstances are right. So are you telling me the circumstances still aren't right after having the number one pick and taking a kid with all the upside he's supposed to have?
Right.
If it's not right now, when?
Look, I mean, you're never going to get the 3 number ones back for Deshaunte. You could get something for Trey. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's going to be a mutiny and people are going to be marching on the streets if Trey got traded. There'd be a lot of unhappy people. But what's the best course of action to get this thing rolling? So, I mean, get Capella off the books, bring in somebody. Brandon Ingram, apparently, at least the media is reporting he's interested in Atlanta. You know, it's you know, you guys always say nobody wants to come to Atlanta. No! You got to make the money work. People will come here, man. You got the cash to make it work.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. And Brandon Ingram would be a guy that would be a cure-all for a lot of the Hawks' ailments right now. But, again, you're going to have to wheel and deal a lot of – in order to get a Brandon Ingram and still be under the luxury tax –
it's an impossibility.
The amount of wheeling and dealing you're going to have to do.
And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I understand it's the cost of doing business, but there's the level where, like, the Phoenix Suns are at and the Timberwolves are at and the Celtics are at, you know, and obviously the Celtics got it right, Timberwolves almost got it right, and Phoenix blew it. But there's got to be some – it's almost like the argument I've been making is a third of the NBA is in the luxury tax. It's the cost of doing business.
Yeah, and you talked yesterday we had a conversation about those aprons.
Right.
And those are the teams that you just
the
listed.
The tiers that you can get into.
That are in the higher level aprons. The Hawks are not there. They're right on the fringe of being in the tax. Mm. So basically what they're doing right now, you just subtracted $4 million by getting rid of A.J. Griffin.
Right.
So now you have a little bit more money. But what are you going to do with that space? Is that going to go to adding more players, or are you just going to say, hey, we just saved ourselves some coin in the same way that they did with John Collins?
Right. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I moved out of the city just because COVID. You know, I was trapped in a condo. Now I'm out in the country.
Yeah.
30-minute drive into the city now for me. I used to make fun of all the guys. Carl used to laugh at me. You know, all you guys in your gated communities. You know, I just – now I got to be motivated to get my ass up here. You know, I want a winner. I want to be here for a winner. You know, so that's where it comes from. It's born of frustration. I've gone from season tickets to 10 games to, like, now I just do piecemeal because I'm very frustrated with the product. I don't think that's unfair.
What did we see a week ago, Mike? Where were we? We were at State Farm Arena.
Right.
And it was as
bananas
as we've ever
energy,
seen.
Energy, vibe, the kind of stuff we saw back in 20 and 21, and we haven't seen it since. We're talking about when Caitlin Clark and the Fever came in to take on the Dream. All right, let's get on to my second source of aggravation, the Atlanta Falcons. How much should we trust Zach Robinson in year one?
I think we should trust him as much as we're willing to trust Terry and Raheem. Because they're the guy that picked those are the guys that picked him. So this is what I've been saying, and I've been pounding the drum for the last couple of months since this all went down. You're either in or you're out. And what I mean by that is you either trust Terry Fontenot, trust Raheem Morris, and everything they've done under their umbrella to build out the 2024 Falcons, or you don't. Because if you're going to sit there and try to nitpick little elements of the team, you're going to drive yourself absolutely crazy. So either be in with the moves that they've made, and yes, that includes drafting Michael Penix, not taking a corner, and not taking a big-time edge. I don't like it, but if I'm going to say that the Falcons are going to be able to reach their potential in 2024, I have to trust the process. You have to, because you're at the point of no return now. So right. When it comes to Zach Robinson, you have to believe he's going to steal that juice from L.A. and bring it here.
Hey, man, this portion of the show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Chris and I are live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead talking about the Falcons. I just look at where, you know, Matthew Stafford was, and I see Kirk Cousins, and I see very similar skill sets. And Matthew Stafford, especially when you think about his time in Detroit between injuries and not performing in the clutch, the same things. 1 year of injury. For the most, knock wood, has been pretty resilient before the Achilles injury.
Yeah.
But it's the same guy who knows the system, knows the language. Now, I don't know anything about these wide receivers. We spent some time this week talking about how much faster they are and Darnell Mooney and Ray Ray and all these guys. I do know what Drake London should do. I know what Kyle Pitts should do. But I do know that we got great running backs, one that can, you know, certainly ram it and go for it. We're talking about Algier, and I hope he gets, you know, I'll be honest with you. He's kind of the forgotten guy sometimes in the offense.
Yeah.
And he's still a great piece. But Bijan is the versatile weapon that can catch the ball out of the backfield. It's not like Zach Robinson comes here, looks at this team, and goes, I don't know what to do. There's a lot of weapons.
Yeah, and it's a lot of similar type weapons that you had out in L.A., and the blueprint is there. You had Kyren Williams, who's your Bijan Robinson back there.
And by the way, who had in Atlanta even knew who he was last year when the season started?
Exactly.
1,000-yard rusher.
You have a guy in Drake London, that's your one, and that's your Cooper Kupp, and you have a guy in Kyle Pitts that shouldn't theory be your two. That's your Puka Nacua, and you build the offense around there. And like you said, guys like Rondell Moore and Ray McLeod and Darnell Mooney, those are your gadget players. Those are the guys that you're going to use to trick the defense, to go straight down the field and try to burn people, and you should be set up and ready to go. And Mike, I think the thing that Zach Robinson has in his in his favor is everything we've been hearing about Kirk Cousins. Coach on the field, right. General, guy that comes in and matriculates the offense down the field sort of a thing. And when you have that, that takes off some of the burden from him.
The Falcons average only 209 passing yards. You mentioned that earlier. I mean, I know we're going to run the football, and we're still going to do play action. We talked about that earlier in the week.
You have to.
But the points, that's the thing. When you can't get 24 is the score. It used to, I think it still is, right? The metric is 24 points or above
points
to win in the NFL. If you can't get to that benchmark, you're screwed. And remember, 3 years in a row, 7-10.
7-10, and the offensive metrics, when you look at them, not good. They were 22nd. In the league, 22 points per game. No, 26th in the league at 22 points per game in 2021 and 2023, and tied for 15th in 2022. So you average out the last three seasons, you're in the mid-20s.
Yeah, that's not even close. So now we understand the athletes. We just talked about the roster and the wide receivers and the skill position guys, running backs. A guy that here's where it's going to get weird with the audience and the fan base, because you're not going to see Cousins, I don't think, in preseason.
No.
I mean, would I bet you a steak dinner on it? Okay, I'll bet you a steak dinner on it. But, I mean, not the entire listening audience. I just think the work, and I kind of got that from Raheem when we were talking to him on and off the air and then seeing him up at camp. The feeling is you're going to have scrimmages with at least two of the teams we're going to play in the preseason.
Yeah, the Dolphins are one.
And the controlled environment will be the area where, you know, you'll see Kirk Cousins and you'll know what he's doing. But you won't see him on the field in the preseason. And the fans are only going to see Penix and Heineke, which is going to drive the controversy, which is going to be inevitable.
Exactly. And then you're going to see week one, Kirk really put into action. And something we've been talking about as a theme here is that Pittsburgh's defensive line is nothing to, you can't take them lightly, Mike Bell. Essentially, you have two guys that are all pro caliber players that the Falcons' offensive line, which I know they get graded highly.
Right.
They can't. Pass block. I mean, yeah. I don't know if Caleb McGarry.
Well, that's the thing with PFF. I mean, look, I think there's a place in the world for analytics in baseball because the sample size is it's ten times larger than NFL. NFL's got 17 weeks, got 162 weeks in the NFL, 82 in hockey and basketball. But in the NFL, when I try to grade out this line, what was the responsibility of that inside with the guard or the center? Was he involved in a double team? You know, I mean, to me, how do you quantify this great grade that we get? We're good going forward. We're not great going backwards. It's certainly not Caleb McGarry. And Jake is solid, right, if not spectacular. I mean, I thought Bergeron did a hell of a job last year at left guard.
With Drew
and Lindstrom is the gold standard. Yeah,
but Dahlman's another question mark for me, Mike. Right. And we make the jokes about the snapping all the time, too. But he's another guy. I wasn't blown away by his play last year.
A new set of eyeballs come in, along with some coaches were retained with the offensive line, but still. It's a great question. Real quick, Daryl follows us on Twitter. He goes, if Kirk was going to do what Stafford did, he'd have done it on his second team. Talking about what happened in Minnesota.
He did. Have you seen his number? I know he didn't do it in the playoffs, but have you seen his numbers?
Daryl, I got to be with you, bro. I know what you're saying, but you go back and watch that Giants playoff game. The Minnesota defense was not existent against Daniel Jones. And there were some drops. I mean, look, I get it. Kirk's knock is he can't win the big one. And, well, then he's perfect for Atlanta. Let's hope he's going to change that narrative. Hey, man, this hour of Dukes and Bell brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We're live at Twin Peaks. Chris is in for Carl Dukes. We're going to continue the Falcons conversation. We're going to throw some of these questions about the offense and Zach to our good buddy Miles Garrett. He works for Fox 5. And you weren't here for Ken Rodriguez, but that's how Ken would say it.
The legend lives.
Fox 5. Anyway, we're going to hang out. Yeah, man, why do the Hawks make it so hard? I mean, the Falcons, we think, are going to turn a corner. I mean, the Hawks, man, you got to prove it to me that you're in it to win it, right?
That's what the next couple of weeks are about.
I'm a fan, man. I don't sit in the press box. I'm with you, bro. And by this point, I bet half the audience is shot at this state farm. We'll come back. We'll talk to Miles Garrett from Fox 5 live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, Dukes and Bell.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy & Associates Personal Injury Law.
Hey, man, we've been talking a lot about soccer today. We got a poll question up at DukesandBell929 on Twitter. We don't call it X. Here's the question that Chris posed after a heartbreaking loss to Panama, who was playing dirty, but, we should expect that. Do you feel that America's top athletes will ever take on professional soccer as their primary sport? And a lot of folks feel the answer is never. 41% say no. 36.9% say not until the money's right. And 21.6% says no. Soccer's growing. It's going to be good. A lot of guys are saying, look, We're not talking about like Chad Johnson. One guy goes, well, Chad Johnson was a terrible soccer player. Soccer snobs get always upset with this argument, but everybody who's not a soccer snob realizes that it's true. Our best athletes don't play soccer.
Yeah.
They play football, basketball, and some baseball, although we need more black kids playing baseball. That's just a fact. But I found it ironic to play in Birmingham. There's only like a couple of black guys on the roster, you know, is, you know, as we honor the Negro Leagues and all that. But getting back to soccer, I mean, take the point guards, take the corners, whatever you think size, whatever's applicable, and then they grow with that sport. Then we dominate the world because the bet, just by the odds, the population. But we've got rich middle class kids playing soccer, or we just don't have the killer instinct when it translates to soccer. That's our poll question. You can answer that and get back to it. Right now, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline, our man, Miles Garrett. Miles, Fox 5 Sports, before we talk Falcons, where do you fall on this? U.S. men's national team never, ever fails to fail, you know, with their big moment.
Yeah, I mean, it's the dilemma that I don't think we'll ever solve when it comes to the U.S. men's national team. I feel like every time we see them play or every time a big moment comes, the standards are way too high for them. And, you know, it ends up happening what we saw yesterday. So I wish I had a better answer for you on it. But unfortunately, yeah. I think that it's what it looks like for the foreseeable future when it comes to those guys.
I would just say, like, our toughest guys play in the sport that requires – it's like soccer's a tough sport. We're not trying to make it sound like it's esoteric. Got to be tough to play it. All right, to the Falcons. Chris and I were going round and round in the 5 o'clock Falcon Report about what is Kirk Cousins going to be. I said he can be Matthew Stafford with a happy ending, presumably. You buy that?
I mean, I hope so. Matthew Stafford certainly with not as good of arm strength, that's for sure. And, of course, you have the injury concerns coming from Kirk Cousins with an Achilles injury. That's a pretty serious injury to come back from. But, look, I mean, there are some similarities there. He's working with Zach Robinson, a guy that had worked closely with Matthew Stafford. He comes into an offense that's relatively tailor-made for him with all the young superstars there. I mean, you don't want to call them superstars yet, but they certainly have the potential for that. And Bijan Robinson, Drake London, Kyle Pitts, you know, seeing these guys in practice, You can see kind of the difference in the ball placement that we've used to seeing the last couple of years with guys like Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, that kind of quarterback play that, you know, we've just been lacking the last two seasons. And you're starting to see it in practice. Again, granted, it was mini camp, and, you know, the things don't really look exactly how they're going to look until you're actually tackling out there. But the potential really is there. This is a team that's ready to win. That's why you pay Kirk Cousins all that money to come in and then draft a quarterback, because you feel like he can come in and win you games immediately like Matthew Stafford did.
Miles, I know this is something me and you have been talking about as the offseason has progressed, but we're getting dangerously close to that time. We're just a little less than a month away from all meeting up at Flowery Branch. The defense, it looks like it might be what it is right now. Do you expect the Falcons to make another move?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for them to add some depth pieces or maybe even a starter at that cornerback spot. I think that's really the glaring spot that a lot of Falcons fans are really looking at right now when it comes to this defense, because obviously you know what A.J. Terrell can do, but Clark Phillips still is kind of relatively an unproven commodity there at that cornerback two spot, just coming off his rookie season, didn't start all the games there, and you saw some glimpses of what he could do, but do you feel 100% certain that he can come in there and be your number two starter? And then outside of that, you don't really have a lot of depth pieces behind him. I mean, you got Antonio Hamilton, Jaden Price. I mean, these are guys that you don't want to go into the season feeling great about. I mean, you look back at last year, the cornerback play wasn't necessarily fantastic. Guys like Hughes and Okuda that, you know, left some things to be desired. But going into the season, you did feel like you had some good depth when Clark Phillips was your backup at that point. You like what you could see from him to maybe come in and assume a starting role like he did. But I think right now that's the big spot that this team definitely needs to improve upon, because outside of that, I think you've got some pretty good depth pieces on the defensive line and really the linebacking core especially. I think that's probably the position group that you feel the best right now, just given who you have and who you brought back. And, you know, you got Nate Landman back there, Malone, Carter, all those guys, J.D. Bertrand now, Braylon Trice, some of these rookies you bring in. I think that spot is really completely settled. I don't see them adding anything there. But, yeah, certainly would like to see some more depth pieces at the secondary.
joined by Miles Garrett, guys from Fox 5. He's up at Falcons every day. We'll be talking to him throughout the summer. We'll be able to do a lot of shows up at Hooters, by the way, in Buford. Looking forward to maybe getting you in there for some shenanigans when you're not on TV there, pal. So, look, we get it. They didn't have the balls to commit to just one quarterback, so now we've got redundancy at quarterback. It is what it is. But you're right. The money could have been spent, to Chris's point, on the corner, the edge. Do you believe in this draft class? I mean, the middle round, if it's like what the Rams did last year, that Raheem Morris was part of, that could be a good thing. But I get sick and tired of telling the listeners, Miles, about if Ebukadie does this, if Zach Harrison does that.
Yeah, sorry, I lost you there. What did you say at the end there?
No, I was saying the edge rush. Do you buy the edge rush? Because it seems like we're selling hope. Is it going to be? Is it going to work?
I mean, yeah, that's a tough question, right? I mean, we go into every single offseason or season really trying to figure out, you know, is this the year that they finally get an edge rush? You know, we're still waiting for Arnold Ebukadie to take that next step. Now, granted, I do really like Braylon Trice. I thought they got kind of a steal in him, kind of in those later rounds to get him in there. And obviously, he does have experience working with the Falcons' new defensive coordinator. So that's all good. But it doesn't all change until you actually get to the quarterback. Now, Rook Arororo is another guy that a lot of Falcons fans were kind of scratching their heads over, because they're all saying, you know, where is that edge rusher? You spent the first round pick on a quarterback when you had your pick of the litter for any edge rusher that you may have wanted at that point, and you didn't address it. So it's going to be the question going into camp and probably into the season, Mike, is, again, we've been waiting ever since John Abraham. It seems like every single offseason I say this, you know, it's like, oh, you know, is Tack McKinley going to be the guy? Is Vic Beasley going to continue his momentum? You know, it feels like every single year it almost feels like a broken record now, but it's not going to change unless some of these guys, one of these guys, puts up a double-digit sack season, or, you know, 8 to 9 sacks even. You know, you lose a guy like Calais Campbell, who was, you know, one of your top guys. Bud Dupree, your two top guys who were getting you sacks last year, are no longer on the team. So someone's got to step up and do that.
Miles, when it comes to a guy that we're all expecting big things from, that is, of course, Kyle Pitts bouncing back and finally, hopefully, fingers crossed, fully healthy after what was a more serious injury than we were led to believe initially. What have you heard and seen from him so far?
Nothing but good. That was definitely a guy I was keeping my eye on, and from covering the team, you know, week to week last season, and really the year before that, you could tell that he wasn't 100%. I mean, I guess we're mostly talking about last year, obviously, coming back from that knee injury, but it was noticeable how much he was still kind of, not necessarily just going through the motions, but very limited in what he was doing with that knee. He looks back to what he was looking like his rookie season, but only better, of course. You know, he now has a few seasons under his belt, some development now, and one thing I did like to see that we saw from Kirk Cousins is, and maybe you guys saw this too, is it almost seems like Kirk throws him the ball a little bit differently. And that's something we really wanted to see. You know, he is a big-bodied receiver. He's tall. He's large. He kind of has the frame of a Calvin Johnson type. Of course, you're hoping that he can emulate some of that success, but that's his game. You know, you want to throw the ball up, let him make a play, and then use his speed for the yards after catch. That's why he was drafted at number 4 overall. He's an incredible talent. You want to see him utilized. We just really haven't seen that talent in its purest form since 2021 with Matt Ryan, because obviously he was healthy at that point, but he, you know, that was when he had good quarterback play. He hasn't had good quarterback play the last few years, and that's another thing I'm excited to see with Drake London. I mean, I think that's another guy who's ready to burst onto the scene. But from a health standpoint, I think Kyle Pitts is at 100%. He hasn't given any indication that he's not, and from what I've seen, he seems to look the part right now.
It's a Miles Garrett from Fox 5. I'm with you. I think you and I were talking about this up at Flowery Branch. Drake's got an intensity about him. Like, you know, his issue to be that 1,000-yard receiver and, you know, make his stamp that he's one of the elite receivers in this league. But just to follow up with Pitts, we used to argue all the time with Arthur about, look, if Pitts can't block, don't ask him to block. Just let him be Gonzalez. Do you think Zach sees him as a traditional guy or as a unicorn?
Definitely as a unicorn. I mean, we talked to Zach, you know, as far as where he's going to line up. And all you got to do is look at the Rams system for what they did. You know, they get their playmakers the ball. And, guys, I don't know if you guys saw this podcast maybe it wasn't a podcast. I think it was Tom Brady on with Colin Cowherd kind of talking about when he had playmakers and he had those guys. He made it a priority to get those guys the ball early and often, because why wouldn't you? You know, he made the comparison to Christian McCaffrey. If he had a guy like that on his team, he wants to get him the ball early and make sure that he gets himself into a rhythm so that he does feel wanted and he does feel happy when he is on the field. Because why wouldn't you want to do that? You brought up Arthur Smith. there was a lot of times where those guys would be used as decoys. You know, you go back to that Vikings game when it's third and goal and you run a reverse with Jonnu Smith, who then throws it to your, you know, Michael Pruitt. You know, why are you using your playmakers there? And I think that that's something that Raheem Morris is embracing. You know, he mentioned that Bijan Robinson obviously going to be used in that Christian McCaffrey-type role. Zach Robinson talking about getting Kyle Pitts the ball. You know, these are all things that we've all been waiting to see, and for some reason they weren't utilized in the way we thought they were going to the last couple of seasons.
Hey, man, great catching up with you, brother. We'll see you up at the branch before you know it. Miles Garrett, a regular contributor, and now you're FOS, friend of the show. You get a blazer and everything. Hey, thanks, Miles.
Absolutely. Yeah, excited to be at Hooters at some time soon with you guys.
We'll be up there at Mullen, Georgia before you know it.
Miles would do well, by the way.
Yes, he would, at Fox 5. Hey, man, this hour of the show brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Dukes and Bell with Chris Thomas, the Turtle, hanging out with us. Good dudes, man. Some good listeners, some regular hombres hanging out. Look at you drinking your tequila. Look at you. Don't sip, just shoot it.
I'm all grown up now.
We'll come back. What a weird game on the south side of Chicago. Yeah. Chris Sale, 11 strikeouts. You got beat by the worst team in baseball. Now you get a team that's on the up and come with some great young pitchers. We'll talk about this Pirate series. Grant McCauley, GMAC next on Dukes of Bell.
Time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Hey, man. Hanging out here with our lovely server, Hannah. And we're hanging out, good time, fun time, at Twin Peaks in Bucket. Grant, you should be here. Oh, no, check that. Grant's at Truist Park because the Pirates are in town.
That's right.
Time for talking to our man, Grant McCauley, growing around the yard. Grant, before we get to the White Sox, whatever the heck that was, you think the Braves can maybe make some hay while Schwarber and Bryce Harper are banged up? 10-day DL for both Phils.
Yeah, no, that's, a big piece of news that came out today, because not only are they going to be out for a while, but they're going to miss that head-to-head matchup against the Braves next weekend. So
right on.
It's kind of a two-for-one, a strange one at that. I mean, you certainly don't cheer for injuries or anything of that nature. I'm not condoning it, but the Braves have dealt with their own all season long, and now for the Phillies, it's two that come at a time in which, you know, you want to round out the first half. They've got that eight-game lead. They've done what they need to do thus far, but can the Braves close that ground? This seems like an excellent opportunity for that.
Grant, at least on the flip side, some semi-positive news, it sounds like, for both Michael Harris and A.J. Minter.
Yeah, no, it does sound like there's some progress being made, but until Michael Harris is able to run, you won't really have a clear timetable for when he can be back with the Braves. But resuming some baseball activities, always a good thing to see. It sounds like for A.J., maybe just the one more rehab appearance this weekend, then he could be back for the Giants series. Of course, the Braves are off on Monday as well, so he'd get that day of rest and presumably be ready to go on Tuesday. And they've also got Tyler Matzik beginning to throw, at least do some long toss. So there's some progress that is being made there, but clearly the closest one to returning, A.J. Minter. I still think we're not going to see Harris for a number of weeks.
It is Grant McCauley, guys, on the WaitFor.com hotline. What a strange game on the south side. And that was a makeup from the funky weather earlier in April, Grant. But Chris Sale, 11 strikeouts, look great. And the White Sox used a starter but still kind of did the bullpen thing. And they stymied the Braves. Are the bats cooling?
Yeah, hopefully not. But, I mean, you look at how that road trip began and the hype that was around going into Yankee Stadium and taking 2 out of 3 from a club with one of the best records in the sport to then roll on into St. Louis. The weather was obviously not helpful, having to play a doubleheader. Those are hard to sweep, but either way, you had chances in that second game, couldn't get it done. And then the White Sox game just seemed to be just the coup de grace for things swinging back the wrong way. I wouldn't hit necessarily any kind of panic button about a couple of games, but as the Braves come home, where they have had, really, when you look at their offense, their best results all year, it is imperative that they get themselves back on track, because they were showing an awful lot of progress the past couple of weeks, and they need that to continue to be the case.
We'll get to Paul Skeens later in the interview as we talk with Grant McCauley. But the Pirates in general, Grant, they're just two games under 500. They're not a team that the Braves can just expect to roll over.
No, and they lost 2 out of 3 to the Pirates in the previous meeting between these two clubs about a month ago. And that was the same series in which Ronald Acuna Jr. suffered that knee injury and was lost for the season. So you can't overlook anybody. And as I often say, and as it's proven true time after time, season after season, the game is not played on paper, so we can look at the records all we want, look at the rosters all we want. Things have a way of happening in baseball, because as the White Sox showed yesterday, any team can beat another team on a given day, and that's really all it takes. If you have a couple of bad days in a three-game series, the very simple math says you lost a series to a team that you wish you hadn't.
I know that we've been injuries throughout the season, and we're still right now kind of stymied at the corner. Duval has underperformed a little bit, but do you feel they will be the first team to make a move? I know we were talking earlier. I know David O'Brien wrote some stuff that you and I had already talked about, Grant, about some of the players like Tommy Pham and Rooker and some of the others. Do you think the Braves will be the first to, like, maybe try to shore up the outfield?
I don't know if they'll be the first, but I know that they've definitely got to make those calls, because when you look at what they've dealt with injury-wise, starting with Acuna, who's gone for the year, and the plan to try to find as much consistent performance as you can, not just at the leadoff spot where Jared Kelnick is thriving, but having that depth and that power and, you know, the other facets that Ronald brings to you that makes your lineup that much better, you know, it's imperative that they do get out there and get something done, and I think that they will. Ramon Laureano, who they've been utilizing some right now as another right-handed bat in this mix, he's dealing with a little bit of a back thing, should be back here in the not-too-distant future, but still, you know, with Adam Duvall's struggles against right-handers, I think all signs point to the Braves needing to be aggressive when it comes to shopping, but how soon can they get a deal done? I just continue to wonder that, because as we've talked about with the expanded playoff field and the fact that teams aren't really quote-unquote out of it at the end of July anymore, they maybe have to trade off some of their pieces if they feel like they can sneak into a wild card spot, and I can't say I blame any team just based on if you get hot at the right time, what can possibly happen.
Grant, we get Charlie Morton on the hill tonight. Couple of rough outings in the past couple of weeks. What have you seen, and how can he turn it around?
I think it's just execution. That's just what it comes down to for Charlie. Is his breaking ball is a pitch that most of the time I feel like he's not really even aiming to throw it for a strike. It's a big-time chase pitch, and the whiff rates and all the other stuff that goes with it, when you look at his StatCast page, it tells you that's still an elite pitch. He's used his fastball a little bit differently, thrown a few different types this year, and I have noticed him aiming to throw that curveball, no pun intended, for a strike a little bit more this year, so that when he does get hitters to expand, they've seen two versions, basically, of that same pitch. So I feel like he's not necessarily changing up the way that he's going about things, but maybe just trying to diversify his pitch selection a little bit. And I think it's worked some, but then other days, as we've seen with Charlie, you know, he just loses that. I don't know if it's release point or what, but just not able to limit the walks. And typically when that happens, that's when he gets himself in trouble.
Grant, we were joking around earlier when we were kids, before the interweb. Although Grant's younger than me, maybe you never had to look at newspapers. But remember when you were a kid, wow, I'm going to see Skeens and Max Fried. Saturday is going to be bananas. I was using that when I was a kid. It was like Doc Gooden versus Steve Carlton. Ooh, can't wait.
Yeah, no, you had to be excited about that kind of stuff. And even as I was growing up, you know, a kid who grew up in the 80s and 90s before the internet, I mean, I learned about players from other teams through baseball cards and in the paper, box scores at the end of the sports page. And every once in a while, I think it's either once a week, almost once a week, the USA Today would post everybody's stats for all, at that time, 26 teams, so that you could see what everybody's doing and you could kind of find out, you know, a little bit about some of the other teams, maybe the hot players that were coming up and that kind of stuff. But, yeah, you used to have to work a little bit harder to find your information, so we are living in kind of a golden age for that. But I don't care what generation you are. When you look at a pitcher like Paul Skeens going up against a nice veteran matchup and Max Fried has been pitching some great baseball, that's about as marquee as it gets for two men on the mound. And while I've said the Braves may not enjoy digging in against Skeens, I think a lot of fans of filing to Truist Park on Saturday, they're going to get a show. Now, what that show looks like, I don't know, because about the time you say that, you end up with a game that's 10-9 and somebody hits a walk-off homer, which in this case, the only team that can hit a walk-off homer tomorrow is the Braves.
Right on.
Yeah, Grant, as we're chopping it up with our buddy Grant McCauley on Around the Yard, Marcelo Ozuna, not going his way right now when it comes to
all-star. Well, he couldn't bat 500 all season.
I know, but he still deserves to be an all-star, Grant, and I don't know if that's going to happen right now.
Yeah, but, I mean, we haven't even gotten to the reserves being named, so I wouldn't really worry about it. But I don't know that anybody had a realistic expectation that, A, he was going to beat Shohei Ohtani in a popularity contest voted on by the fans all around the world. And secondly, that the Braves at large had really put together the offensive numbers to garner the same kind of respect that they got a year ago. So just a different set of circumstances, but I feel like as they start to round out those squads and look to find the other player reps and other teams and guys bow out of the game, you could see Marcelo Ozuna added to that squad.
Talking with our man Grant McCauley, G Money. So I know Chris was asking earlier about AJ Minter. I'll do my weekly question about Ian Anderson?
Yeah, not much to report at the moment in terms of, you know, the timeline for him changing. It's still going out on this rehab assignment. He got his two starts done down in Florida. I believe the next stop, at least I had heard, it was going to be Rome. I've also heard Augusta, okay. But either way, he is heading north to a full season affiliate to start getting his actual rehab assignment going. And that should be happening, I think, sometime here within this next week. So if they get that done and he's able to go through, check all the boxes and be ready for the second half, that's just somebody else that could help the Braves out, particularly if they're looking to do this six-man rotation thing and have somebody help them out. Ian Anderson, somebody who could benefit from that little bit of extra rest himself. So that's just somebody to keep in the back of your mind. But I don't think that that return should discourage the Braves, and I'm sure it won't, because Alex Anthopoulos is pretty thorough about, you know, fielding and trying to find the or fielding the calls and making the you know, determinations of what his club needs as far as pitching is concerned. I don't think it takes him out of the market, to make a long story short.
Grant, before we let you go, looks like Ramon Laureano is dealing with a little bit of a back issue. Doesn't look like he'll play today, but apparently could be available off the bench. He's been a little bit of a spark plug. I like what I've seen from him.
Right.
So if he can stay healthy, Grant, I mean, maybe they found something.
Yeah, sometimes you just find a bit of a diamond in the rough, or, you know, somebody's – I hate to use this phrase, but something that somebody has discarded becomes of more value to the next person. Let's put it that way. And I think that's the case for the Guardians cutting loose Ramon Laureano and the Braves finding him. You know, he's got some good metrics just in terms of, like, how he strikes the ball. He's got a great arm, one of the best you'll see in the outfield. And when you think about the struggles that Adam Duvall has had against righties, maybe Ramon Laureano can take a little bit of the pressure off him. And you just give Adam Duvall a little bit of a mental break against that, because, you know, Adam's been through this before. He's highs and the lows. He's a very streaky hitter. But typically, it does come back around. And I think he's still got an important role to play for the Braves, even if it's not of the everyday variety.
Right. I'm not willing to, like, say and throw Duvall out with the bathwater. I still give him, you know, he's been so clutch, especially going back to 21. I'm with you, Grant. Hey, man, enjoy the weekend. Can't wait to see that Fried-Skeens matchup on Saturday. We'll talk to you Monday.
Yeah, very excited about it. Y'all have a great
weekend
as well.
Hey, by the way, what's going on this weekend with the programming?
Oh, yeah. We got From the Diamond 5 to 7 on Sunday. We're going to talk about Paul Skeens. That's going to come up a bit. And, of course, we'll go fully in-depth on what's going on with the Braves. This homestand, this pivotal homestand plays out. That matchup with the Phillies is looming 5 to 7 on Sunday. You can also find From the Diamond wherever you get your podcast or on the Odyssey app.
Right on, baby. And if you're sitting at the lake, you can always go to odyssey.com, to Grant's point. Hey, man, have a great weekend. It is Dukes and Bell with our man Chris in for Carl today at Twin Peaks. Some old friends hanging out, trying to get us drunk. We will not let that happen.
No.
We are disciplined. We have one more hour to go. We'll talk more about our poll question, which is really getting a lot of traction. A lot of guys getting fired up. Guys who love soccer hate when people who they don't think are soccer aficionados crap on the fact that our best athletes don't play the sport. Because our best athletes don't play the sport in America. It's a fact. It was on display the other night. We'll dive into some of that, give you some headlines coming up next on Dukes and Bell.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!